I get to do a fun one. I don't have to do adultery or sin or counseling or... So I hope this morning is going to be a little more lighthearted, a little more fun. I found some good quotes on friendships because we're going to look at friendship this morning. It says, "If I have to clean my house before you come over, then we're not real friends." And then here's one for the young girls. I have one friend like this. "True friendship is when you walk into their house and your Wi-Fi connects automatically." There's nothing better than a friend, unless it's a friend with chocolate. And here's a good one. "You don't have to be crazy to be my friend, but it helps." Chris, right? And then here's one for the older girls. "We'll be friends until we're old and senile, and then we'll be new friends." Yeah, so just welcome to your women's study. I just love that we do this. And I've seen over the past 40 years of doing this, I've seen what deep friendships can form from girls who intentionally spend time together around a table loving each other. So I commend you for being here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for every one of these faithful girls, especially those, Lord, that with little ones, that they have so many to get ready before they come. I just pray a special blessing on them today, Lord. And I thank you for this topic, that you cared about friendship, so you put stuff about it in the Bible. And so I pray that you would do the work, Holy Spirit, here this morning, that we would sense your presence. We love you, Lord. We want to grow and become good friends, women that take the time to intentionally make friends. Help us, Lord. It's frightening sometimes and scary to meet new people. But I pray you would help us to be a good friend as well to the girls that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have heard me read this before, but I think it's so important. I'm going to read it again. They teach this at Stanford University. I just finished taking an evening class at Stanford. The last lecture was on the mind-body connection, the relationship between stress and disease. The speaker, head of psychiatry at Stanford, said, among other things, that one of the best things that a man could do for his health is to be married to a woman. Yeah. Whereas, for the woman, one of the best things she could do for her health was to nurture her relationships with her girlfriends. Right? We're different than men. At first, everyone laughed, but he was serious. Women connect with each other differently and provide support systems that help each other to deal with stress and difficult life experiences. Physically, this quality girlfriend time helps us to create more serotonin, a neurotransmitter that helps combat depression and can create a general feeling of well-being. Women share feelings, whereas men often form relationships around activities. They rarely sit down with a buddy and talk about how they feel about certain things or how their personal lives are going. Jobs, yes. Sports, yes. Cars, yes. Fishing, hunting, golf, yes. But their feelings? Rarely. Women do it all the time. We share from our souls with our sisters, mothers, and evidently that is a good for our health. He said that spending time with a friend is just as important to our general health as jogging or working out at the gym. There's a tendency to think that when we are exercising, we are doing something good for our bodies, but when we're hanging out with friends, we're wasting our time and should be more productively engaged. Not true. In fact, he said that failure to create and maintain quality personal relationships with other humans is as dangerous to our physical health as smoking. So every time you hang out to schmooze with your gal pal, just pat yourself on the back and congratulate yourself for doing something good for your health. We are indeed very, very lucky. So let's toast to our friendships with our girlfriends. Evidently, it's a very good for our health. That's Stanford University. I think they're right, don't you? So we're going to learn about friendships today. And I wanted to I remember being a young pastor's wife. I became a pastor's wife at 22 and didn't know the Bible. I was scared to death of women. I got beat up in high school. They always wanted to compete with me and fight with me. And so now I'm a pastor's wife, and I'm supposed to take care of and help other women grow in their relationship with Jesus. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to do it. I'll do anything for Jesus. But I didn't really know how. So I wrote this in my Bible. I was 33 years old. It's still in my Bible. I can show it to you. It says this. Meef, you were not created to be a spectator in the game of life. Go live life out loud. Be engaged in this world and the people in it. As you relate rather than skate, God will work himself out in you. Being an active participant is a lot more work, but it's the only way to real peace and growth. You must get off the bleachers and get in the game. Make mistakes, take the risk, and grow. You may fumble the ball now and then, but you may make a touchdown as well. And you will grow stronger as you play. Throw away, this is the most important part, throw away the guarded, protected imposter you have become, and just be you. If you do this, growth will come naturally and will make lasting changes in your life. If you don't, you will stifle the work of God in you because you are in control, not Jesus. That's what the Lord said to me. Go, Meef. You're going to hurt somebody. You can apologize. You can ask for forgiveness. But you can't be an imposter. You don't want to live life as an imposter. Full self-disclosure is something we tend to avoid at all cost. In fact, we are prone to keep people out of our private world by wearing masks. Not physical masks, but psychological ones. Masks protect us from pain, but they also block our connections. You can't be truly known while hiding behind an image and not being real. Walls may protect you from the hurt, but they also keep you from healing. When you drop your guard, you invite grace to do what pride could never do. When you stop trying to appear like you have it all together, you give others permission to be real too. And I remember when I first became a pastor's wife, and our speaker last Christmas was June Hesterly, one of the first things I did right after I had Larissa, so I was dealing with baby weight and all that, and knowing that I didn't really know my Bible and probably shouldn't be a pastor's wife, I got invited to a pastor's wife Christmas dinner at June Hesterly's house. So Nancy Foley lent me some nice clothes. Yeah, brown velour pants, if you can imagine this. And I went to June Hesterly's house, and I was so nervous. I was this street kid, and I was among all these holy pastor's wives. And so I made my plate, and as I walked over to sit down to eat my plate, I dumped the whole thing in my lap. And I was so embarrassed. I was so devastated. But these precious, godly pastor's wives, who are still my friends to this day, came over. They even offered me pants. They loved on me. They loved on me. And it made me feel so loved and accepted. Here's a little ditty that I'm sure most of you can relate to. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to go where you can see your troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Isn't that true? I think it was Viktor Frankl said, to know and be known. That's the whole of life. That's what you're here for. And as Christians, we know, and to share Jesus Christ. What the Lord has been able to do in a very short time in this church is remarkable. I hold back the tears every Tuesday as I watch the Spirit moving in our midst. It's otherworldly and powerful. Women need women. And when the women in this church really walk, you know, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and walk in the Spirit and not in their flesh, we actually form the heart of God in this church for the glory of God. And the people that walk into this church, they feel it. They sense it, the love and the kindness and the patience and the goodness, the stuff, the fruit of the Spirit in our church. As we worship him together, this is so good. As we worship, even what we just did with Shannon and Taylor, as we worship him together, where am I from my place? A divine melting of our separateness takes place. His presence breaks down the privacy and isolation of our individual lives and creates the unity that we all long for. Isn't that beautiful? His Spirit bonds our spirits together around our tables into a family that genuinely cares and provides for each other through the good days and the bad. Your table gathers together each week in the unity of the Spirit that transcends your individualism and comforts your soul. It's we're connecting soul to soul. Instead of mind to mind or body to body, we're connecting with those that we love soul to soul. And you say, you can feel inside, I'm known. Somebody, they love me. I belong. I belong in this church family. I know that's what happens for me at my table with Heidi. That's what happens for me. When I was back in the 70s, when I got saved, I was going to sing it, but I'm very raspy this morning, so I'm going to spare you that. We used to sing this little song, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. For they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know, the world. They'll know we are Christians by our love. The friendships that we build in this church is how we love each other. I remember being in the North Park Theater in 1978, tears just running all by myself, sitting there, didn't know anybody, all by myself, crying when they were singing this song. It just melted me. It was 1978. I wasn't very attractive when I came to Christ. I was a Jersey girl with a big attitude and a big mouth who had learned to take care of herself in a very harsh and evil world. I was angry, abrasive, brawless, and smoking cigarettes on the break at Bible school. But the love of Jesus through the woman at Calvary Chapel melted my heart and made me want that kind of love. I wanted to belong to that family. I didn't like the girls I met out in the world that beat me up. And I had never felt this kind of love anywhere before. I moved out when I was 16 and just fought my way. Have you ever felt lonely, even in a crowd? I have. Let me just tell you, girls, we don't need to find more activities. We need more intimacy. The answer is not to go meet more people or take a class, etc. It's to grow closer to the friends that God has already given you and to build real relationships that will go the distance. Walter Winchell said this, a real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Isn't that good? I pray you have a friend like that. I have two. I have two friends like that, East Coast and West Coast. It's when we stop thinking about our problems and learn to love and take care of each other that we will build deeper relationships. Jesus said, when you lose your life by serving others, you really find life. And I encourage you, before you come on Tuesdays, pray. If you feel alone, even in this crowd, I encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to show you someone in this women's Bible study to go to lunch with you. Just say, do you want to go to lunch next Tuesday after Bible study? Or you young girls with moms, hey, you want to pack a lunch and go to the park with the kids? Reach out and build friendships. Let me just say, the best friend you will ever have is Jesus. He gives the best counsel and the sweetest comfort. He is always available, loves to listen, and is very understanding. My best friend is definitely Jesus. And then Gary's running a close second. But what builds godly relationships? How do we do it? How do we build godly relationships? Well, I think there are three ways. Number one is consistency. Number two is kindness. And number three is vulnerability. So number one, consistency. Proverbs 26 says, many proclaim loyalty, but who can find a faithful friend? Seeing each other regularly at school, work, or church, or at your women's Bible study are how friends are made. Consistency. You have to be placing yourself in the presence of that person regularly. The consistency of seeing each other is the soil where lifelong friendships can grow. In our independent, self-sufficient society, this is a big step. To show up and be faithful to the girls God has given you. I look back over my life. God handpicked women for me and brought them near to me. I commend you for coming to Women's Bible Study Weekly. It's a discipline that many women are too busy or too afraid to do. Life is the school. Love is the lesson. That's just the truth. And I want to tell you something. I'll be 70 this year. And I am so glad that I have a few real deep relationships that I took the time to build over the years. I'm going to tell you, when you're 70, they become really, really, really important because life gets harder. So do the hard work, you young girls. Do the hard work. Love the women God gives you in your lifetime. They are a precious gift, especially as you age. The second thing is kindness, Proverbs 19:22. What is desirable in a woman is kindness. For some people, kindness is genetic. It wasn't for me. I was a bull in the china shop. I was just always wanting to run, do, conquer. You know, I wasn't really thinking about the people around me. God had to teach me that as I've grown up in him. But for most of it's a learned behavior. Colossians 3:12 says, put on. Put on. Doesn't say wait for it to bubble up from inside of you. He says, put on a heart of compassion and kindness. We have to learn to esteem others higher than ourselves and not be so self-consumed. Unfortunately, as the Lord tarries, society is becoming less and less relational and more disconnected, self-centered, abrupt, and tense. People can be dismissive or even disrespectful of your values, beliefs, or cause. But I've yet to find a person who won't make way when kindness enters the room. So I think number one, we need to be consistent. Like you're doing, come in faithfully to your women's Bible study. Number two, we need to put on kindness. Ask the Lord to show us ways to be kind to the women around us. Kindness has the ability to write your life into the pages of others. You'll actually become an aroma of Christ in someone else's life as you show them kindness. Kind people understand that true growth comes from nurture. Not force. So if you've got one of those friends in your life that's really giving you a hard time, nurture is the key, not force. Kindness is a doorway that can unlock the most guarded doors. A kind person treads lightly, listens carefully, looks tenderly, and touches another person's life with reverence. And there's oftentimes there'll be people that will struggle. There's an affair or a wayward child or whatever it is. And they invite me into their life. And I always tell them, this is holy ground. I'm going to pray and seek the Lord before I say a word to you about anything. And I pray that you will take everything I say to you and filter it through the word of God. Because I believe that that's very, very holy ground, somebody else's life. We need to be reverent and respectful towards somebody else's life and not just barge in and start giving advice. In a tough and often unbending world, our kindness can be a vivid reminder of the presence of God. We don't always have to have the answers for everybody. Most of the time, just letting them cry and listen, that helps their soul release some of the pressure and heal. So often it's a vivid reminder of the presence of God, who is gentle and humble in heart and doesn't break a bruised reed. So the third one, vulnerability. James 5:16. It says we're to confess our sins one to another and pray that you may be healed. I'm confessing my sins to Chris all the time. She probably gets sick of hearing them. I say something and then I go, no, Meef, that's not true. And then I have to turn around and undo it and say, this is what I should have said, or this is how I meant it, or whatever. So have grace for your friends. God has grace for you. And we need to be, that grace and that love and that kindness is what will really send your friendship roots down deep. So confess your sins one to another and pray so that you may be healed. Sharing both our hills and our valleys creates trust. I remember we had just moved here in 1998. I went through the worst trial of my life that I had ever gone through. I'd gotten hurt so badly. I didn't even know who Chris Dunsmore was. And I was bawling on the floor with her in someone else's house because she was the only friend I had. We had just met. I'm surprised she's put up with me. But honestly, that solidified. I think that solidified. And she hung with me. When everybody else walked out, she stayed. And that's what solidified our friendship. We want to be loved. I'm going to say this twice because it's so good. We want to be loved. But we can only be loved if we are known. And we can only be known if we share our true selves, not the imposter. We want to be loved, but we can only really be loved if we are known. And we can only be known if we share our true selves and be real with somebody. Now, you can't be real with everybody because some people hurt you. I've had that happen as well. So be careful, but you need at least one good person that you can bawl on the floor with. Your relationships will only be as deep as your performance, ladies. If in all your relationships and in all your life you are living this guarded, I am perfect, nothing ever goes wrong, my house is spotless, my kids are perfect, my marriage, you're going to break. Because that's not true, you're living a lie. So your relationships will only be as deep as your performance, and you get to pick. Will I make real friends or will I be an imposter? You will have different types of friendships. Not everyone is supposed to be your best friend. I see that there's three kinds of friends that God gives us. Number one, we have constituents. They all start with C. Some people will just be our constituents. Some will be our comrades. And some will be our confidants. You need them all. A constituent is a person who supports your goals. They are for what you are for. I have a lot of those here. The girls, all my women's board, all those guys that helped me over the years. They are for what I was for. And they came alongside me and we worked together to make it happen. Then you have comrades. They'll help you fight your enemies. They are against what you're against. So those girls are even closer to you, because they're going to stand against evil as you're trying to stand against evil. And then you have a confidant. They are for you personally, offering deep, unconditional, lasting support through the good times and the bad. If you have one of these, you're a very blessed woman. And I encourage you, young girls, if you don't have one, find one. Find one. It'll last you until old age. She'll be with you to old age. You can't expect one girlfriend to be everything to you. I have one friend who stabilizes me. I'm not going to say any names. I have one friend who stabilizes me. We've been friends for over 60 years. I have another friend who helps me decorate and try to look normal, you know, buy stuff to look current, you know. She helps me learn how to decorate my house and wear clothes so I don't look old. I have one who is a reader and fuels my deep thinking. And she's always sending me texts and making me, and then I want to read whatever book she's reading. Then I have another friend who keeps me laughing and adventurous and trying new things. So you can have lots of different friends. God will bring different women into your life in different seasons to encourage you and help you. Sometimes you have to lose people to find yourself, and that's okay, especially if you're a new believer. Sometimes you have to let go of people in order for you to become the woman that God created you to be. Just as far as it concerns you, be at peace with all men. Do it respectfully, do it lovingly, do it, be kind, don't be rude. Not everyone is meant to walk with you forever, but every friend will teach you something meaningful. And some of me, you know, some of my friends teach me who I don't want to be. So some of my old, you know, BC friends before Christ. Good friends make good days better and bad days easier. Isn't that true? Good friends make good days better and bad days easier. The Bible says good friends will have a positive impact on you. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if one falls down, the other one will lift him up. The Bible describes true friendship. It's going to hurt sometimes if you're being real. Proverbs 27, 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. So sometimes your friends are going to tell you the truth because they love you. They'll tell you you have a hair growing out of your chin, you know, or you got dirt in your face or food in your teeth. You know what I mean? They're going to tell you the truth. The Bible says be careful to pick the right friends. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says that bad company corrupts good morals. And the Bible encourages us to protect our friends. This is a good one. Because all women struggle with gossip. If your friend is hurting, don't spread the bad news to hurt her even more. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. And it's hard. When somebody's hurting and they tell you what's going on, it's hard to have that secret in your heart and hold on to it and take it before the Lord and not take it to anybody else. But a good friend protects her friends. The Bible says that Jesus is the best friend you could ever have, John 15, 12 through 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus has done for us. So Proverbs 13:20 says, the one who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Be careful who you bear your soul to. Take your time, choose wisely. I'm going to close with 10 ideas of what a godly friend looks like, okay? Ephesians, number one. Worldly women think only of themselves. Godly women die to self and live for others. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We are not shocked at sin. Godly women are not shocked at sin. We all sin. We all know we sin. We admit it. When our friends sin, we lock arms with them and pray with them and encourage them and do Galatians 6:1, you know. If your friend is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, watching out for your own self that you don't fall yourself. So we are not shocked by sin. We lock arms and help each other. Number two, worldly women cause fights and division. Godly women are humble and teachable. James 4:6. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Number three, worldly women judge and condemn. Godly women nurture and disciple and lock arms. We grab the babies, the young girls in the church that are struggling and trying to grow and become better moms and wives. We grab them. Titus 2:4, encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God is not dishonored. So that the word of God is not dishonored. That's big time. Isn't that big time? That's what we're to be about. We're not supposed to be looking down on people or pointing fingers at people or judging anybody. God forbid. I'm, by the grace of God, I'm in. I'm still a sinner, but I'm in. And I don't want anybody judging me, and I don't want to judge anybody else. Number four, worldly women change values with the society. Godly women shape their values with the Bible. Psalm 37:31, I love this one. The law of God is in her heart. Her steps do not slip. Isn't that good? That's the kind of woman I want to be. That I get up every morning, I read my Bible, I put God's wisdom and his law into my heart. I don't want my steps to slip. I don't want to be a fool. Number five, worldly women expect a perfect husband. Godly women help their husbands. Proverbs 31:11, the heart of her husband, the heart of a godly woman. If you're looking to find friends, look for godly friends. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She's proud of her husband. She speaks well of him and doesn't let anybody speak evil of him either. Number six, worldly women put their career first. Godly women put their God and family first. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also praises her because she put them first. Number seven, worldly women want to lead men. Godly women understand God's chain of authority. Ephesians 5:23, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Number eight, worldly women are entitled and greedy. They're never satisfied. I can tell you some stories you wouldn't believe. Women who live in $5 million mansions and have everything and anything they want, and they are not happy. Worldly women are entitled and greedy. Godly women are thankful and grateful. Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart and tell of your wonderful deeds. I'm going to be a grateful woman who tells everybody about all that God has done for me. Number nine. Worldly women compete with each other. This is the part I hate the most. Worldly women compete with each other. Godly women support and encourage each other. Hebrews 3:12. Encourage one another day after day so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's our job to hold each other up, to speak. You know, you're either speaking life or death into your day. You really are, by the words that you say to the people around you, whether it be your friends or your family. You're either speaking life or death. So we do encourage one another day after day. And the last one, number 10. Worldly women gossip and start relational fires. Godly women watch their tongue and silence evil. We pour water on fires. That's what I do. Most girls don't gossip with me. I think they're a little afraid. But you know what? And I'm not saying I don't. And I need my friends to pour water on me sometimes too. But if someone tries to gossip with you, just grab their hand. Let's pray for her right now. That's just pouring water on that fire and inviting the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ to come in and do what only he can do. Amen? Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her own, a godly woman, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. When God reigns in our hearts, peace reigns in our friendships. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So the most important thing you can do if you want to be a good friend or have a good friend is, number one, walk in the light yourself as he is in the light, and he promises you will have fellowship. And so I just want to end by reading the quote that you girls, we've given it to you for years, but just in case there's new girls, this is my favorite female friendship quote. It says this, oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but to just pour them all out, just as they are, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful friend will take them and sift them and keep what is worth keeping, and then with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away. Isn't that good? That's Mrs. C-R-A-I-K. I'm sure she was born in the 1800s, but she wrote that, and I love it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I do pray, Lord, that we would be a church and a women's ministry known for our love and for our kindness, for the grace that we show our friends. Lord, help us to be real friends, to not just skate, Lord, but to relate to each other in the good times and the bad. And I just thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit that is able, as we walk in the Spirit and in the fruit of the Spirit, in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, as we walk in those things, people are going to want to be our friends. And so I pray that you would build wonderful friendships in this women's ministry and in this church, Lord, that would go the distance. And I pray you bless the girls at their table. In Jesus' name, amen.